You are listening to the Extended News at Noon on WISR 680 and 107.5 FM. I'm Tyler Freo with you. Joining us today inside the studios is the former Slippery Rock University Vice President for Administration, Global Engagement, Economic Development, Chief Innovation Officer. He is also a former senior advisor to Chancellor Grant Dan Greenstein with the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, is Dr. Amir Mohammadi. Amir, thank you for taking the time for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
So we are having Dr. Mohammadi on today. You were let go from your position earlier this year.
Yes.
And there had been some controversy surrounding that. We had covered it here on WISR. And so you're here today to explain your position and why you believe you were let go, and also some happenings that you believe are happening at Slippery Rock University. So first, I want to get into your background as we dig in here. You were a former senior vice president for the university, senior advisor. Finance is your background. If you could give the listeners a view of what your role was and what your duties were with the university and how we got to this point today.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for the invitation. I come to Slippery Rock University in actually May 19, 2014, when Dr. Norton was the president. Prior to that, I was the executive vice president and treasurer of Delaware State University, and I was also president of the Housing Foundation and controller of the Development Foundation. And prior to that, I was at West Virginia University that I had almost 12 positions. So I have been in many, many areas of responsibilities in the university. So I know, I usually joke around with people, I know where Jimmy Hoffa is.
And so at Slippery Rock University, one of the areas that they were looking to explore, and this is one of the points of contention for you, is an engineering department. The university is exploring a couple years ago the addition of an engineering department to the university. And if you could, again, relay to the listeners what your experience was in your role as leader of the financial department in exploring this and why you did not think it was a financially feasible exploration.
Yes, it goes back to June of 2018, where the interim president at the time wanted to introduce two additional engineering programs. The mechanical and civil engineering was being introduced. I went to his office and I said, "You're putting this on the Council of Trustees, and I just want to tell you my position. I will never sign off on this because this is not true. These numbers that you're proposing is not right." I had done similar discovery as to why many universities in higher education, over 3,500 of them, don't have engineering. It's because of the cost involved and the expertise. Minimum, you will need $50 to $100 million. And
to get this program off the ground and continuously running.
Absolutely, and sustain it, and teach the students what really the latest technology in the field of engineering. We are in the competitive process in the higher education. So as such, we don't need to have change for the sake of change. It got to be change for the transformation of universities and making sure that we adhere to the principle of the mission that we have. So I noticed that they provided that within 4 years, they're going to have about $3 million in the two new engineering, 4 to 5 years, $3.2 million in net revenues.
So the expectation from the report that they had put together was they thought $3.2 million in net revenue.
And I said, there is no way this is true, and I will never sign off on it. So the dispute became so large, and according to Pennsylvania System of Higher Education, the CFO must sign off on the financial. I refused. A new president came, and the new president on July 2nd mentioned to me that that he understands my position, but he's going to sign where I was supposed to sign as a CFO, and he said he's going to sign off on it. And later, he mentioned that, oh, this program was in place before I came, and that's not true.
So you're saying current president, Dr. Bill Barry, signed off on this program, and you allege that it was in place, or he alleges that it was in place prior to him taking over.
And it was not, because the Board of Governors, after the Council of Trustees, needed to approve it. When I questioned him, I said, do you realize by signing this, university is going to be in a lot of financial difficulties down the road? This is going to be retrenchment at so many levels in different disciplines. And really, union employees, we are going to have to let go in order to sustain this. Well, he mentioned to me, Amir, I understand your position. When I was in the College of New Jersey, it was a great program. We had that, and it worked very well. I said, Dr. Barry, the cost was almost twice more in the tuition and fees, and these numbers are not right. They're misleading, obfuscating the truth, and misleading the public and the Board of Trustees and the Board of Governors. He said, I will sign it. I said, please, before you sign it, read it. He said, well, I'm a new president. I have to go to ask you. I don't have the time to read it. So I will sign it after I come. I sign it now, and then after I come back, I will read it. Right there and then, I noticed that we are in trouble. Because when you are going to sign something to this magnitude and you haven't even read it, and you're going to read it 3 weeks later so that it goes to the Board of Governor to be approved for August, September of that following year, I knew we were in trouble.
So this program did get implemented.
It did get implemented, and the interim provost, Dr. Chmielewski, and myself, we were asked to co-chair. Now that we have done it, let's go ahead and get it done. So when we competitively got a number of engineering firms to come to discuss feasibility, obviously market study according to them has been done, which I disagreed with it. The feasibility study, through competitive process, we got five top engineering firms, which, by the way, we got the best known, internationally known Canon engineering firm come, and they started looking at all of our programs. It was a process of going through $90 million, by the way, I was wrong. It was not 50 to 100 million. I was off by 10 million. Then we started working with Dr. Chmielewski to make it to be manageable. And it ended up being 60-some-odd million. And when we shared that with Dr. Barry, and his response was, well, that's too much. I said, well, I told you so. So now students, so it took 3 years since that conversation to last year in October of 2021, the junior students didn't have their labs implemented.
So there were engineering students in this program that up until last fall went through the entire program without having a lab
That's correct. In October, they were working with some equipments, but they were not equipment that, you know, is the 21st century type of equipment for teaching and educating engineering students, majors. So in the middle of October, finally, the labs were, by the way, they were temporarily labs. And Tyler, you go ahead and ask whether those temporarily engineering labs are going to be permanent engineering labs, because there is no way they could afford to have the temporary to go to the new one. So then it came to last March, we still do not have engineering plan. We don't have academic plan. We do not have engineering plan. we do not have a strategic plan, and we didn't have master plan.
And you're talking here collectively for the university.
For the university, and a master plan was part of it, and engineering was part of it. And Dr. Berry, 5 years later, we still don't have it.
So it sounds like one of your biggest critiques here is of Dr. Berry.
That's correct.
That you allege no master plan, there's no long-term vision, you say, for the university.
That's correct. You don't have to know where you're going as long as you're on your way, was the way it was being managed. And I couldn't take it anymore. So that's why I wrote my very quiet whistleblower to the trustees and the chancellor.
Now, the state system says they looked into this matter and they investigated it and submitted that there was no wrongdoing that they found. I'm assuming that you would take issue with that.
100% I take issue with that. Because why don't they disclose it? Go ahead, disclose it. Amir Mohammadi is wrong, right? Go ahead. Show it to me so that I could go and beyond the reasonable doubt that I tell you. You either did a Mickey Mouse operation investigation, or you are also part of the cover-up. And that is why I am asking the Board of Governors, and I'm asking the legislators, Republican and Democrats, I'm calling on them to do an investigation so that the public are being misled. Taxpayers, Commonwealth is being misled.
You said that the engineering department, they had projected that there was going to be a $3.2 million revenue from this program. Did they see any type of net revenue from it?
No, it's, as a matter of a fact, I provided the information as of last year. We were almost $400,000 just in revenues, but it was the wrong numbers. We have, the deficit is a lot higher, and each year is going to be worse, and the students are being bought by high scholarship to be putting in these low enrollment classes.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So you're alleging also that Slippery Rock University is offering high scholarships to first-year students to bring them in, and then you think that these scholarships are going to evaporate in a year?
I would say to you that look at the CPP, comprehensive planning process. In November, the trustees asked, the CPP was wrong, misleading, and it happened under two CFOs. And we went from like $6.4, $6.8 million in a scholarship to when President Berry is no longer here, it's going to go down to $3.2 million. How is that possible? Are you going to take away a scholarship from students and parents?
So you're saying that there was a $6 million set aside for scholarships, and that number has been slashed in half.
And it's right in the CPP. I'll show it to you beyond a reasonable doubt.
And can you explain the CPP? This is the comprehensive planning process.
The comprehensive planning process was put in place that universities, I do not know whether you're aware, there were two major reports came out from the state system of higher education, Pennsylvania state system of higher education, called PASHE. PASHE had two reports, NCHEM, and through RAND Corporation, that all these 14 universities, with the exception of few, that was Westchester and Slippery Rock and a couple of others, the rest are in trouble. They're not viable. They need to be looked at. They need to be, the universities need to come together in an atmosphere of mutual needs and respect. They need to pause and really put this, figure this out. And that's why a new chancellor was hired. The new chancellor came in and he said, I would like to hire the best around me so that we could really figure this out. Well, unfortunately, the chancellor ended up being wrong. So he didn't put the right team together. And as a result, I know they're all going to be leaving, and the taxpayers are going to be getting $75 million that just passed legislation to give the state system, and there'll be the additional $500 million. I am asking the governor and I'm asking the legislators to investigate. The PASHE cannot regulate itself.
So you're alleging that just the state system entirely is a dysfunctional operation currently.
100%. And I serve as a senior advisor to the chancellor. And I have written reports for going to some of those disadvantaged universities that they were in trouble financially.
Would you have advocated for closing any of these universities?
I would not. I would ask I would never ask for that, but I would ask for accountability. I would ask for transparency. I would ask for leadership that comes in, work for the people. Work for the students and parents, work for the communities, make tough decisions so that it doesn't become exasperated. So I would not advocate for closure of any of the universities, but I would ask for accountability, and is non-existent under this chancellor and under this president. Slippery Rock University was the strongest financially situated in the great financial standing. And now, as far as the eyes are concerned, it's going to be deficit. There's going to be layoffs, 100%, I assure you that.
Well, you know, something we've talked about, and, you know, I've talked to politicians about, you know, all this time, Western PA is just lagging in population growth, which inherently means there's just going to be less students going to college, which seems to be one of the reasons why Penn West was created, to consolidate under an umbrella for three different universities. What do you think is the even in the short term and long term? Obviously, you're saying Slippery Rock is just not going to be financially viable short term and long term on the track that it's currently on. Is that what you're saying?
Michael, absolutely.
And what would be the correction to that?
The correction is you need an investigation. The legislators and the board of governors, they need to start asking the right questions. The right questions is, look at the CPPs. It started 2 years ago, and most of those universities that projected their CPPs on their enrollment numbers, on their financial, are not meeting those goals that they put in 2 years ago. So that means something is, everybody is kicking the can down the road, and that's really what's taking place.
In the CPP, I'm trying to find my stats here. It said SRU showed a 33% cut to financial aid, a little more than $2 million during the 22-23 fiscal year, nearly $1 million more for the following year. Is that something that is still accurate?
That is what they proposed, and I disagree. And I said, you know, you need to, are you really going to, the students that are, by the way, two things, Tyler. One, if you're, level of a scholarship is close to 7 million. Okay, on the ENG and with the overall close to 8 million. Are you going to really cut 33% so the new students are not gonna have any new scholarship? Or the current students, you're gonna cut their scholarship. This is asinine. This is not financially viable. And the students are going to start to, wait a minute. By the way, there's an admission that everybody in the state system are misleading, giving the wrong information. Some of them are retiring, so they don't have to be exposed. And some of them are gonna leave to go back to, they're gonna go for a bigger job somewhere else. The governor and the legislators must take this away. I call upon the legislators to do a real investigation. I will be happy to help them for $1 to help them with it.
We're talking with Dr. Amir Mohammadi, who was a former Slippery Rock University Senior Vice President for Administration, Global Engagement, Economic Development, and Chief Innovation Officer. We were talking before we came on the air, and, you know, obviously a lot of our conversation has centered a bit on the SRU president, Dr. Bill Berry. There would be some people that would look at this and say, for lack of a better phrase, you're the scorn lover. You know, you were fired and let go. You were passed over for the president's job earlier in your tenure at Slippery Rock University. What do you say to the critiques that, you know, you're just, I guess, an upset employee looking for revenge?
Thank you. This is really great, great question. When I settled on my previous lawsuits, I asked that I do not want a dime, and they created $100,000. I asked for whatever financially that I was going to be damaged, I said, I don't need it. I don't want it. This is, the, I am a naturalized U.S. citizen. I love this country, has given me a great deal. So I said, let's create a scholarship for students under my name so that nobody could go rogue anymore. And guess what? We settled in the court, and they were in violation of the settlement. And nobody knows that. Mm. There was a scholarship under Amir Mohammadi. Dr. Amir Mohammadi scholarship for $100,000. It was never fulfilled. It was a court settlement. So, no, and I didn't question. I didn't go. Until now, I didn't even raise the issue. No, I am not a disgruntled, but I want to help this great university and the Commonwealth. As a taxpayer, people are entitled to the truth.
One of your roles was also as an economic development and ventured via, you know, whether it be state grant funding, federal funding, private funding, you had said. And, you know, where is Slippery Rock University in terms of, do you believe they are a strong university? It's seeking out private grants. Do you think they are a strong university in seeking out state grants? And do you believe that they are fully leveraging their positions in terms of finding economic development for the university?
Thank you. When I was promoted to Senior Vice President for Administration and Global Engagement and Economic Development, part of the economic development was exactly what you just mentioned about seeking grants, enhancing the university's mission, and by bringing resources so that strengthen the mission and the vision of the university. Well, about 5-6 months ago, I was able to provide their leadership and bring $750,000 to be matched by RCAP from the governor's office. I was thankful, truthfully thankful to Senator Hutchinson, Representative Bernstein, Bonner, and so many other that really helped us to achieve that. Well, one of the things that part of the economic development was for us to really bring both people from different aisle, from the Republican and Democrats, to sit and work for the advancement of higher education. And one of the things that occurred was Dr. Berry, after a couple of meetings that we had think tanks, he said, I want to make sure that the mayor, we do not have any more Republicans in the room with me. And I was flabbergasted. And there are people that could attest to that. One of them is Dr. Abby Zink. He didn't want any Republicans there. But our job in higher education is to work with both sides of the aisle. Our job is to make sure that we advance the mission of the university. And as such, we don't play with the students' lives. And having these engineering programs in place and then 2 years later closing it, I told right to Dr. Berry and the cabinet, we are playing with the students' lives, because while we were spending resources to bring labs for the senior students, there was conversation as how to close the other two engineering labs. And I said, why are we doing that? If we are going to close it, then let's be honest. Well, let's not disclose it until we go through the accreditation for the mechanical and civil engineering, then we will close it. I said, do you understand that this is playing with the students' lives? And so part of the economic development to help out, making sure that we bring grants and contracts to the university so that we could do the kind of a thing that we have to do in order to advance the mission.
It's a generic question, but are you optimistic that Slippery Rock University is still going to be a viable four-year school in the short term and long term?
I am an eternal optimist, but not under this leadership. Not under the leadership in PASHI and not under the leadership in current leadership.
So you would argue, as Dr. Berry has announced that he intends to retire in June of next year, that the next hire they have is very consequential to how the university moves forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Slippery Rock University is a special place. We have great faculty, staff, students, and we need to really be truthful with them. And yes, we can turn it around. We could, by the way, I just don't want you to misunderstand me, Tyler. I put it in my report, wrote to the trustees and the Board of Governors. We can only minimize the damage. We cannot eliminate the damage that has already happened.
Dr. Amir Mohammadi, we appreciate your time. If you missed any of our interview, you can check it out, WISR680.com. Do you have any final words you would like to say to the audience?
Thank you. I'm calling for the legislators to investigate this away from PASHE. I think the parents, taxpayers, students, university, and Commonwealth deserves better.
Dr. Mohammadi, thank you for your time. Thank you. I'm Tyler Friel, and you've been listening to The News at Noon.